Dr. Jerry, you got the whole world waiting. Been ready for you to start the conversation. Your point of view, it got the haters confused. Leave it up to you to bring us all the good news. Positive vibes and the sex appeal too. Dr. Andre Jerry, can I get an interview? Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special holiday episode of Live with Dr. Andre. Hey, I want to wish everyone a happy holiday, and thank you so much for spending a small part of your holidays with me. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your listenership, and on behalf of us at the Artist First Radio Network, I want to thank you for your support. So listen, we got a ton of positive feedback from last month's show, Unlocking the Best Life. 10 power moves you can make today. It seems that that particular topic really resonated with you guys, so I definitely plan on offering more content in the self-improvement genre in the coming year. And I'm proud to announce the release of my new book, which is going to also be titled Unlocking Your Best Life, 10 Power Moves You Can Make Today. It's going to be made available for digital release starting January 2025, okay? So be sure to keep an eye out for that. I just want to make sure that you have all of the tools that you guys need to ensure a successful 2025. Okay, so listen, I told you guys at the end of last month's show that our last show of the year was going to be really special and something that you wouldn't want to miss. So I'm glad that you have tuned in. I got a question for you. When's the last time you saw a good movie? I mean, a really good movie. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys about a fantastic movie that you and your family have got to see. Have you guys seen the trailer for Tyler Perry's new movie, The 6888? Okay, so The 6888 is a historical film. It's set in the 1940s during the Second World War. It's a powerful, untold story about the first all-black women's Army Corps unit who was tasked with this monumental mission. I'm not going to get into what exactly their mission was, but these brave women faced all sorts of challenges while serving their country. I mean, racism, sexism, bigotry, and then on top of that, they had normal wartime challenges that they had to contend with. And, you know, they had to push through and work to overcome those difficulties and prove their resilience and prove their significance. Recently, I was invited to a special screening of this film. And let me just tell you, this was a beautiful, well-written story. And it shines a light on the courage of these women and the unity and the lasting impact of their legacy, even up until today. The 6888 is a tribute to the unsung heroes whose story deserves to be remembered and celebrated. And so tonight, we have as our guest one of the talented actresses who portrayed one of those heroic women from the 6888 battalion. So without further ado, let's welcome back to the show, retired military veteran, best-selling author, radio show host, television and film actress, and my good friend, most importantly, Renata Jordan, to the show. Renata, welcome back.
Hey, Mr. Andre. Thank you once again for having me. I truly appreciate it. Thank you for that. That was such a warm welcome. Thank you. I truly appreciate it. And you as being a good friend of mine as well.
Hey, well, you deserve it. And listen, thank you again for agreeing to come on the show and tell us about your big screen debut in Tyler Perry's new film, The 6888. I'm so excited for you. And we're definitely going to get into, you know, some of the details about working with Tyler Perry. But first, I want to know how married life has been treating you, Mrs. Newlywed.
Well, you know what? Andre, I must say that I am truly happy and at peace. I was one that I've always wanted to be married, right? So I just didn't know how God would align that for me. But I must say, I'm so happy that he aligned it the way that he did, because once again, he makes no mistakes. So I am so happy. My husband is an amazing man. Oh, my goodness. He's so lovable and adorable. And we are doing great. We are doing great. So thank you for asking me. Yes, I'm extremely happy in my marriage.
I'm happy to hear it. I was just telling some of my cousins, I was like, you know, it's never too late. You know, you had your dream wedding. And, you know, it doesn't matter when it comes. It comes when it's ready, and it comes when God ordains for it to come. And I know we're not here to talk about all of that and the wedding, but let me just say, I have to just say, that was a beautiful wedding you and Daryl had. Thank you both so much for asking me to be in the wedding and to be one of the groomsmen. It was really a huge honor, and I enjoyed it so much.
As if I wouldn't. Come on now, Andre.
All right. So listen, okay, so you of all people know how quick an hour flies by when you're doing an interview. So let's get right into the meat of our discussion, because, Renata, everybody has been talking about this movie. And after seeing it, now I understand why. And, you know, we talked about this a day or two ago, but I really believe that this film, The 6888, is going to become one of those classic films decades from now, like The Color Purple. And I know that people have their opinions about Tyler Perry's body of work, but he did that. When it comes to this movie, he did that. And what I want to know is, what was it like being part of such a groundbreaking film? Like, when you were filming it 2+ years ago, did you know it was going to end up being this?
Absolutely not. And I want to say, he definitely did his big one on this film. And first off, I have to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the alignment of such an incredible moment. Because when I tell you, I had no idea that I will be part of something so phenomenal. So for those that know me, they know that I'm an Army veteran who have served 20 years in the military. And when I say this film hit near and dear to my heart, I mean exactly that. I mean, from being surrounded by a group of women who all look like myself, coming together to get the job done and completing it above and beyond what was expected, it was so heartwarming to me. So I want to say, yes, that film, everybody, it's a must-see. Everybody must go see that film. They would definitely not be disappointed.
I 100% agree. And to your point with your 20-plus years of dedicated service, and thank you for your service to our country, by the way, but you obviously had a lot of professional and personal experience to draw from in this role. But even with that, can you tell us a little bit about how you prepared to get into character for this role?
Well, so preparing for this role was easy, right? Because I felt at home. I mean, as a woman being in the military, this was something I did for 2 decades of my life. So I didn't have to put on an act per se. I just played the role of being who I am. So, however, being that this portrayed a historic movie that dates, like you stated, back in the 1940-ish time frame, it's a timepiece film. So, of course, you know, we had to look the part. Natural look, no makeup, no nails, natural hair. And for some, it wasn't so easy, because for us women, some of us are always used to being, you know, dialed up all the time. But as for me, I had no problem. You know, it's funny, Andre, because I had literally just soaked my nails off about a week prior to receiving this casting call, as if God was setting me up for this. Seriously, which in all actuality, he really was, and I just didn't know it.
My God. And when I can tell you, when I saw you in these scenes, I was like, this girl is in character. I mean, you were looking like a new recruit. You had that scared look. You were in character. There was no smiling. You were like a different person. I was like, wait a minute. This lady is in character, like, completely. And so I was blown away. But I want to talk about this. Like, what do you, in terms of what the viewers can expect from this film, in terms of its message and impact, because my thing is I don't want people to write this off as another war picture, because it's so much more layered than that. It's a complicated story. So what can the viewers expect to take away from this film in terms of its message and its impact?
Okay, I'm going to answer that question, but I want to also answer the second part of question number two that you asked.
Okay.
As far as what did the story mean to me personally? So as for the story, it was more of an eye-opener than what I expected, actually. Now, don't get me wrong. We as women, particularly women of color, have faced so much ridicule in our lifetime just based off of who we are. Now, I didn't really know much about the women in the military growing up because we were not the focus. The men were. Hence, that's why my book, Transitioning from a Weekend to a War Zone, is brought from a female's perspective. I began to learn more about the women in uniform once I joined the military. When I was serving, there weren't many black women in my unit, as there were times I seen the different treatment among us and women of other race in the military. So I can say I witnessed it firsthand. Now, not to the extent of those women back then, of course. However, this type of unorthodox treatment still exists to this day. Do I believe the military is improving? I would have to answer yes. I also believe that there's still work to do when it comes to being equal.
I'm going to say something about that, because one of the things that this movie helped me to appreciate is how, and I've thought about this, but I haven't thought about it in depth, but how black women are and have been treated in this country. We always put so much focus on the men, how black men are treated, and we are treated a certain way even today. But when you talk about being a woman, you know, that's one form of being a minority in this country. And then you want to add black woman onto that. And when I saw how just even some of the subtleties of how these women were treated, and these are women that should have been exalted because they were, you know, they were there to serve their country and not out of obligation. They volunteered for this service, and to still see that they were treated in this way with such slight and just in a way that it was really embarrassing when you want to talk about the standards that the military are supposed to uphold. It made me really appreciate what black women have gone through in terms of their treatment in this country. So it was eye-opening on a lot of different fronts. And I'm sure it was for you as well.
It definitely was. Because I say, unless you've experienced it, you can't really talk about it. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. As a soldier, I mean, and I'm speaking, you know, all around, everybody sees things, right? But some sees things and turn a blind eye to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, okay, so if you're turning a blind eye to this and this is happening to me and you're supposed to be my first line leader, and if I can't trust you and if you're not stepping up to do the job, then who can I go to? I mean, of course we follow the chain of command. I understand that. But then when you have those in position that, you know, that's the chain of command, and they're not still not doing anything about it, now you left feeling lonely and alone. So what do you do next? So that's why, Andre, I thank God just for allowing me to do what I do as far as traveling and telling my story, because I tell people my story has turned into my ministry. So what I do now is, and I want to put this out there, I have nothing against anyone, so let me just say that. But I do say that I can relate to those that look like myself only because I've been there. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I've been there. So when the young soldiers come to my table and they begin conversing with me and talking to me, some start shedding tears. And what I tell them, I say, listen, I don't know what you're going through per se, But I tell you what, and you don't have to share with me because I'm not asking you to. But I tell you what, I cannot be your mother, but what I can be is your mentor. So I'm always, you know, giving them that out because a lot of times, you know, they don't want to talk to someone that's in the military. They want someone that's unjudgmental to them, that don't know anything about them, that they can feel comfortable talking to, who've already walked in their shoes. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So
I definitely extend that to, you know, to the ladies. I give them my number. You know, I give them my email information. I tell them, reach out to me at any time. And trust me, I have had those reach out to me, and I have had those ask me if I can be their mentor. And I have absolutely no problem in doing so because we need that. You know, they need that. Even myself at this age, I'm not ashamed to say, you know, we can all do better in the things that we do. So having a mentor is a wonderful thing, you know. So yes. I pride myself on stepping up and helping young soldiers. Like, I do that, and I get so many. Like I said, in my travels, I come across so many individuals, and I tell you, I mean, I've literally had women reach out to me and tell me that they've had to pick my book up and reread it because they were so inspired and it was so encouraging to them, and that makes me feel good. So again, bringing that from a female's perspective, people don't know how hard we have it as women, and then people don't know how hard we have it as Black women. So this film right here, I tell you what, be ready. Just be ready.
Be ready, because I tell people all the time, it's not easy to make me cry, but there were several moments throughout that movie where I had to, you know, hold it back because, there were ladies in the audience and I didn't want to let it just rip, but it's a very touching movie. And just to piggyback on what you said before, I know that's the reason why you are as successful as you are, because how I met you and how we became friends is while you were on your book tour. And I can attest from firsthand experience, you're not really on a book tour. What you said really is true. You are on a ministry tour. You are not so much focused on selling books. You sell them, and you sell a lot. I think people would be surprised at how many books you sell, how many units you move. But you are more, I've seen you, you are more concerned with telling your story and ministering to others. Even when I met you, you weren't trying to sell me a book. You just wanted to introduce yourself and say, hey, hello, I'm Renata Morgan at the time. And this is my story. You want people to know your story. And when you tell your story, others are touched by it. And then it kind of resonates if they have something similar going on. So I've seen how you connect with people. Every time you came to Robins Air Force Base, which is where I worked for a number of years, your booth always had the most interaction. Everybody, I mean, you would have lines and people waiting, and you know, you're talking to people and you got 3, 4, 5 people waiting to talk to you and connect with you, because it's just something about, you're not out there being a salesman. You're not trying to push a product. You just are telling your story. So that's something that's really remarkable about you. And when you can have a job where you're basically just ministering to people, telling them your story. And we don't talk about this. A lot of what you do is just listening, because people are coming to you. They feel your energy and they just open up to you about, hey, I'm going through this, or hey, I'm going through that. And you don't even really mention the book. You end up selling it anyway, but you're listening and you're ministering, and really you're doing God's work. So I think that's why his hand is on you so, and why you have been so successful, and why doors have opened that otherwise wouldn't have opened for other people because of the interactions that you have with people. You understand what I mean?
Andre, boy, you about to make me have a shout session over here. I know we're here to talk about 6888, but literally, I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, yes, in the beginning, it was because I didn't know what I was doing. I knew I had a story and I knew I wanted to tell it. So in the beginning, it was like, okay, how can I, you know, get this book out here? How can I converse with these people? But I'm telling you, Andre, my story has turned into my ministry, and I thank God for it. And also, I say, I remain humble. I'm telling you, I remain humble in what I do. Like you said, you've seen it firsthand. So many people come to me and be like, oh, my God, your energy and your spirit. How can I connect with you? And I tell them, no problem. This is how you can connect with me. But I have to remain humble in what I do in order to continue to receive those blessings for God, from God. Because if I veer off, it can't be like this. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be receiving the blessings that I receive. So I have to stay a course. I have to do God's work. And I feel like this is part of doing what God wants me to do. I know it is, because I enjoy it. It's not a job. It's something that I enjoy doing. It's a passion that I have. I enjoy conversing with people, and I enjoy, you know, people conversing back and telling me what they're going through. Like you said, I am also a listening ear for them. Because I've had sometimes people at my booth for maybe 10 to 15 minutes, and I'm just sitting there listening, and they so appreciate that. Because I may be the only one that they may have that conversation with throughout that day that'll just sit there and, you know, and just listen to them and help them come figure out their problem and come up with a solution. So I just thank God for putting me in the position that he has put me in. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm grateful to God that you're in that position, because you inspired me. I'm a published author largely because of your influence in our conversation. I'm a radio show host largely because of your influence in conversations that we've had. So the conversations that you're having with people, the listening ear that you're giving to people, all that stuff, it matters. It's you're having an impact on people's lives in a really powerful way, and that's just part of your anointing. So I just thank God for your obedience. I thank God for your humility, and I just pray that he continues to bless the work of your hands and bless all of the conversations that you have in these various states. You've been in all 51 states across the United States. Various bases, Army bases, Navy bases, Air Force bases. And so you're having conversations every day, every week, that change and impact the world, you know, on a small way, on a big way, but it's changing, and you're opening eyes, you're opening hearts. So just God bless you for that. On a more light-handed or light-hearted note, without giving anything away, I want to tell you what my favorite scene of the movie was. And then after that, I want you to tell me what your favorite scene was, okay?
Okay.
All right. So my favorite scene in the movie was that pivotal scene where then Major Charity Adams, because she became Lieutenant Colonel, but then she was Major Charity Adams, she had this scene where she gave into a moment of vulnerability in front of her battalion, and she allowed herself to be overcome with emotion. And that was one tough woman, okay? But let me tell you, when she allowed herself to just be vulnerable for that moment, for me, that was the best part of the movie. And like I said, it's hard to make me cry, but that was one place where I was like, oh my God, this movie is on point. What was your favorite scene in the movie?
Okay, so as the movie is now playing in selected theaters across the world, and it will be available for everyone on Friday, December the 20th on Netflix. So for
Netflix.
Those who have not, yes. So I myself have seen the movie. Of course, Andre has seen it as well. So for those who have yet to see it, I don't want to give it away too much. I just want to say this film brings a wide range of emotions, but more importantly, valor. You know, we've been told as a race so for such a long time that we are incapable and we are incompetent and we are incomparable. For some of us, we have allowed those very words to constantly evolve in the sensory of our mindset, while as for others, we understand that being complacent is not where we want to be. As long as we think it, Andre, and we speak it, and then we put action behind it, there is nothing that we cannot do. So I would, one of the pivotal points for me is when she's at her desk and she's messing around with some paperwork, and all of a sudden, no one's working anymore. And she jumps up and she's trying to figure out, okay, why is no one working anymore? And she jumps up and she addresses the women and she said, get back to work. No one moves. She said it twice, get back to work. No one moves. And then when she said it again, but she said it with like a sense of, oh my God, listen, this is what we have to do. We have to show them. Then everyone start clapping and everyone start getting back to work. And she seen, oh my, I'm going to get into it, so I'm going to stop right there. But that right there, that just showed me that we can do anything if we put our mind to it. And working together, we have to work together, but we can do anything if we put our mind to it and not allow others to belittle us in thinking that we cannot.
Amen. You said it. And so I think just listening to you, clearly our favorite scene was the same scene. And I can't wait for the viewers and the listeners to watch this movie, whether they go and see it at select theaters or whether they see it on Netflix on December 20th. That was a very pivotal scene of the movie. So I just can't wait for everyone's input on what this movie meant to them. And I want to reiterate that this is not a war picture. It's not just about war. It touches on a lot of different themes. You know, there's a love story hidden in there. There are stories of resilience. There's the historical impact of it, you know. So there's a lot for everybody. If you're a history buff, you're going to love the movie. If you're a hopeless romantic, you're going to love the movie, you know. So it's just, there's action, you know, for those people that like war scenes and all that type of stuff. There's something for everybody. So don't be deterred by what you think the movie is about, because I trust you when you see it, it's not going to be what you think. You're going to be pleasantly surprised. Okay, so I can't wait to hear everyone's feedback after they've had a chance to watch this, what I feel is going to be a classic movie decades from now when we look back on this. So, Renata, listen, can you share any memorable moments from working on the set with Tyler Perry? I know a lot of people want to hear about that.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, let me say it was such an honor to even be on set with Mr. Tyler Perry. I want to go back to my church home in Toledo, Ohio, where I'm from. When I told them that I was moving to Georgia, I remember just as clear as day, I had a couple of the women in my church tell me, they said, you're going to go down to Georgia and you're going to meet Mr. Tyler Perry. And I specifically said, no, I'm not. How am I supposed to meet this gentleman? I mean, he is extremely busy. Where am I? How? I'm not going to be walking around and just bumping to him. Like, how am I supposed to meet him? And they said it. They said, you are. And I'm going to tell you what, Andre. I was sitting at my book signing one day. Mm-hmm. And I do believe I was in Kentucky. And I sent Tyler Perry a message. Now, when I sent this message, I remotely didn't have, you know, any thought of him responding, which he didn't. But I it was just something that I wanted to do. And I just sent him a message and just, you know, told just a message.
It was and on your spirit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was on my spirit to send it, and I sent it to him. And again, didn't receive anything, but I didn't think I was either. So that was neither here nor there. It was just for me to get it out and knowing that I've done so. Andre, I bullcrap you not. 6 months later is when I received a message for this casting call to be on set. 6 months later. And I, literally, when I received the casting call, I thought it was fake. I said, no way. Tyler Perry, no way. First of all, he doesn't even make Army movies. Like, yeah, right. This just cannot be real. So I nervously typed the information that I was asked to send. And I received a response back that said, you should hear from us within 3 days. So day one, nothing. Day two, nothing. Day three, nothing. But the day, the third night, I received a message. And literally, it was about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And I said, this is a joke. Who is playing around on my phone asking me, am I still interested in this casting call? Like, because my thing is I've never done anything in the industry before, so I don't know how the hours of operation is. But I've learned quickly that they do reach out, you know, during those times of night. But when I received it, I'm like, no way. I wasn't even going to respond back because I'm still thinking, like, this can't be real. And right. When I did, Andre, after that, messages start coming. And I'm telling you, I must have read it about 15 times because of the excitement. Like, oh, my goodness, I cannot believe I'm about to be on set, you know, working with Mr. Tyler Perry. And it's working with him, but it was also like, oh, my God, this is a female story. This is an Army movie. This is history. And I'm about to be a part of it. And I can play the role of me being in the military, you know, somebody I was for 20 years of my life. And so it wasn't right. Something like, oh, I'm going to have to prepare for this. I'm going as me. I'm going as the soldier, you know. So it was so astonishing to receive that information and working alongside him. I'm telling you, I know people have their different takes, and that's perfectly fine, but I'm speaking from firsthand because I've been on set with him. He is such a down-to-earth individual, I must say. Now, don't get me wrong. He's about his perfection, but who wouldn't right. be? You know what I mean? Who wouldn't be with
at
someone
that level,
that
yeah.
Yes.
Right.
So he's about his perfection. Don't get me wrong. But when I tell you, we had so many fun times on set. I mean, oh, my goodness. I tell people this. I mean, of course, you know, you get on set, they pay you. But for me, and I mean this from my heart, because that's how near and dear it is to me, I would have done it for free. Just the simple fact of me being able to say, I'm part of history. And like you said, it's going to go down. It's going to be one of those classics, I'm telling you. And just for for me to be a part of that, I mean, was such a blessing. So, yes.
Wow. And like I said before, I saw the scenes that you were in, and you were completely in character. I knew it was you, and I saw it was you. But you're normally, and I know you probably just laugh, but you're normally so glamorous. But to see you so just stripped down, like you said, no makeup, no hair, just everything, just bare bones. Because remember, it was the 1940s, you know, so you're not going to see women with lashes and wigs and hair and all of that makeup and stuff. So to see you really transform into that character was just remarkable. And like, wow, that is my friend. Like, look at it. She's living her dream. And so it was just, on top of being such a touching and remarkable story and movie, to have a friend that you see in the movie repeatedly, it's just like, wow, this is just something else. So listen, we live in a different time, and we're at this place where we're having to fight really hard to hold on to our history and, you know, make sure that our stories are told. when you think about our military veterans, Renata, and, you know, our civilians too, not to leave them out, but particularly our veterans, how do you think this movie will resonate with them?
Okay, so I think the resonating equivalence among the women in the 6888 with both military and civilian audiences is that we have proven that we can be in leadership positions. Like, this movie was a great example of a woman in a leadership position having the capability and capacity of those working with her. If given the opportunity, she can get the job done. Instead, because of those looking on the outside not believing that we can do it, we are given what is deemed to be the bottom of the barrel assignment, only to find out that the operation exceeded far better than expected from those very women, leaving the naysayers speechless and scratching their heads. So yes, we have to go above and beyond to prove who we are, but let's continue to do it with dignity, pride, and confidence, letting the world know that we are impactful, bringing much empowerment, and maybe overlooked, but we will not be counted out.
Very well said. Very well said. And let me just say, if you're a veteran or the child or the dependent of veterans, my father, Robert Derry, he was a decorated Vietnam War veteran and a Purple Heart recipient. I encourage everybody to watch this movie, The 6888, but especially those that have ties to the military. It's important that you know I'm not going to cry. It's important that you know and that you understand the sacrifices and the dedication these women made to our country, despite how they were treated by some of their fellow white male counterparts. And just to be clear, it wasn't everyone. But just when you see how these women were treated when they were only trying to serve our country, it's really touching. Okay? So definitely go out and see this movie. We're going to pause right here and take a quick commercial break. But listen, I want you to stay tuned, because when we return, we're going to hear more about Renata Jordan's journey from the battlefield to the big screen. And we'll also find out what's coming up next for this in-demand actress in 2025. All right, we'll be right back.
Did you exchange While going part in the war or lead role in a cave. I wish, you were here. We're just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl, year after year, running over the same old ground. What have we found? Like the same old fear. Wish you were here.
Jerry.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Live with Dr. Andre Jerry. You just finished listening to the title track of my new album, Wish You Were Here, which debuted November 27th on Apple Music and is now available on all streaming platforms. So be sure to check out my latest CD. Also, check out my latest music video on YouTube Music, Vevo, or wherever you stream your favorite music videos. And thanks so much for joining us for part two of the show. If you're just joining us, tonight we have as our special guest, best-selling author, radio show host, and actress, Renata Jordan. So before the break, we talked about Renata's big screen debut and her appearance in the highly anticipated film, The 6888, which was, of course, produced by Tyler Perry, and it's playing in select theaters across the country and streaming now on Netflix. So, Renata, I'd like for you to tell our audience how you got into acting. You touched on it a little bit before the break, but really, you do have a remarkable story. The entertainment business is really not a business that's easy to break into. But clearly the Lord has been directing your steps because, unless I'm mistaken, this is only your second or third acting gig. And already you have worked alongside notable actors like Kerry Washington. And I believe this is your second time working with Tyler Perry. So share with us how, after 20 years of military service, how you became inspired to pursue acting.
Okay, so I first want to say I had no desire. Literally. It wasn't, like I said, okay, once I finish my military career, this is what I want to get into. No desire. Again, it was because of my travels, coming across someone who I was conversing with that had given me the number to reach out to another lady who was already in the industry. And when her and I began conversing, she said, oh my goodness, she said, I just love your spirit and I want to start sending you casting calls. So I was like, casting call? What is that? You know, again, I knew nothing about nothing. And she said, you'll see, I'll start sending them to you. So she starts sending me the casting calls. And that's when one of them came across my email and it said, Tyler Perry is looking for female soldiers. And I was like, no way. And that was the start of it. That was my very first time on set of anything. And when I tell you, I was just so blown back going on set because of the operation behind the set, right? I tell people, we as humans, we sit down and we watch it once it's already said and done. But to be behind the set and be in the making of at the time, it is phenomenal. I mean, it really is. I mean, you just see so many moving parts behind the set. And it's like, wow, how is all of this going to come together? But to see it now, the film, just, oh, my goodness. Yeah, so that's how I got started. And then, like you said, doors has opened. So I have been on several other things that Tyler Perry is doing. As a matter of fact, you can catch me on Sisters. It's also a drama comedy that Tyler Perry, it's a series that he has. And I am actually on Sisters, season 8, episode 5. And I want to say, this is so, like, it's funny to me, right? Because, Andre, as you've seen the movie already, and then I'm not sure if people are familiar with Karen, Sisters, you know, the actress Karen. Her name is Karen. Her real name is Ebony, but on Sisters, it's Karen. And the symbolic part about this is that when I'm coming out on that marching field in 6888, I am literally coming out next to Karen, right? And then now I end up in season, Sister 8, in the scene of Karen's beauty shop. There again, I was thinking about that. I'm like, wow. So I come out, and at the time of 6888, I didn't know who she was. But being a sister, I'm like, wow, out of the scenes, I end up in Karen's beauty shop. It was just something to me. So, but yeah, 6888 has literally opened doors for me to work on set with Tyler Perry for quite a few things that he has going on. So that's kind of how I got into that.
That was a golden connection then. What you talked about with your interaction with Ebony, I believe you said her name.
Yes.
That was a golden connection. That was God. So I'm really happy that he kind of, you know, brought you into this world of entertainment, because I was expecting you to say something like, oh, this is something I always had planned, or, you know, I always wanted to be an actress or whatever. But this seems like it's more so happenstance and just, you know, more of a golden connection type thing that led to something that you didn't even foresee. So that's really interesting to know how God can just, we have our plans on what we think we want to do, but it's amazing how God can just have his own separate plan. Like, no, you're going to be an actress. Thank you very much. And I'm going to make it happen for you. So, wow. You sent me a couple of photos where you were wearing your costume for the movie. Did they let you keep any of that stuff?
No, we actually had to return everything.
Oh, man. Were you able to hold on to any, like, keepsakes from the set or anything?
No, because, you know, like I said, we had to return everything. Everything was just for filming purposes only, so we wasn't able to keep any of that. Yeah.
Well, you know, I would have walked away with something, but, you know, that's me.
Here's the thing, Andre. Walking away with something may have led me not to be back on set again, so I have to do the right thing.
Right, that's right. That's why. See, that's why you got to have friends like this, you know, to encourage you to do the right thing.
Right.
All right, let's pivot and talk about your radio show, Relevant with Renata, which is one of the more popular shows on the Artist First Radio Network. So your radio show has been on the air for, I think, 3+ years now. And with your platform, you've introduced us to many inspirational figures who are making a positive impact in the world, including Brian Jones, who you had on the show recently. So tell us what we can expect from your show moving forward in 2025.
Well, What you can expect is that I just plan to have more individuals on the platform, you know, giving them that open space, that open time to talk about things that they would may not ordinarily talk about. So just continue to bring awareness to topics and subjects that everyday people are going through. Because what's stated and talked about on my show may be very well I'm encouraging for someone else to speak about their situation. A lot of times people are going through things, but they hide behind it. But when someone else speaks up about it, they begin to get the courage to, you know, to they want to talk about it as well. So that's what I just plan to do, just continue to have that forum for people to be comfortable and make people, you know, comfortable coming on. No judgment zone. I let people know when you're on my show, you're relevant. I don't care what's going on outside of that, but for that hour with me, you are relevant. And that's why it's Relevant with Renata, because I want people to know, I don't care how other people see you. I'm going to show you how I see you. And for that time, to me, you're relevant. So that's what I continue to do.
I love it. Was becoming a radio show host something that was on your radar in terms of, you know, like something you knew you wanted to embark on, or did it just sort of happen?
Let me tell you, when you say God is so amazing, I cannot stress that enough. Here again, here we are in my travels, right? I'm literally at a book signing, and I come across a gentleman. I cannot make this stuff up. I come across the gentleman. And this gentleman is going into the store. And I ask him to stop on the way out. And he kind of briefly looks over my book. And he says, I have something for you when you come out. I have a question for you. I said, okay, I'm ready to answer any questions that you may have. And so when he proceeds to come out, him and I begin conversing. And he says, after, you know, I give him the spill of my book and everything, he says, have you ever thought about having your own radio show? And I said, well, I thought about having a podcast. He said, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, have you ever thought about having your own radio show? And I said, you know what? I've never thought about it. I said, but that would be something that I would love to do. This gentleman's name is Greg Henderson. He literally pulls out his phone and proceeds to call the engineer right where we stood. The engineer is Z. He proceeds to call Z right where he stood. And that's how my radio show got started. Right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shout out to Z.
Shout out to Z, absolutely. And shout out to Greg Henderson for allowing me even the thought process of him even thinking that much of me to say, oh, my goodness, we have a potential here. You know, we're going to give her a chance and let's see how she does. I just thank God for that. Those connections, I'm telling you, the network and the connections that I have received amongst my journey and my ministry with this book. It has opened so many doors for me. I can't stress it enough. I can't thank God enough. I'm just so humble. I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful just for these opportunities that have been bestowed upon me, because I know nothing but God. I couldn't do it myself. I mean, I'm not saying that it would never happen. I'm just saying it may have not happened at the time that it did.
It's God. It's God all day. You can look at the way he lined everything up, and that's just God all day. So I'm so grateful for the people he placed in your path. You know, I'm so grateful for the people he placed in my path. I'm on the radio largely because of you. You know, that interview you did with me years and years ago led to, you know, me having my own show. So like I said, the work that you do, yes, you're on a book tour, but really it's your ministry. And the people that you're talking to, these conversations that you're having, even conversations that you're not having, Renata, people are listening. People are watching. People are watching you minister and talk to other people. And they're saying, I like that young lady. I need to find out more about her. I need to, you know, get connected with her. You don't know what that type of stuff could lead to. And that's how you ended up on Tyler Perry Said. And that's how you ended up on Artist First Radio Network. And that's how you're going to end up in God knows what other rooms that you are being mentioned in that we don't know yet. It's just God's plan is just so marvelous and so wonderful. We don't know. All we can do is wait in expectation of him and just be grateful for, you know, Lord, I have my plans. I have what I want to do. But I'm just so grateful that you have your eyes on my life, that you touched my life, and that you have your plan for my life. And I pray that your will over my life be blessed and be done. And so I'm just grateful that I was able to touch bases with you and just have a connection with you. So grateful to have connection with Z and the Artist First Radio Network and having this platform, just like you have your platform where you can touch the lives of so many people and tell so many stories that otherwise wouldn't be told. It's really important work. So I'm just really grateful. I know we're coming up on the end of the hour. Renata, what can you tell us quickly about any creative projects that you have, creative projects that you have coming down the pipeline for 2025 that we can look forward to looking and hearing about?
Well, I will say that I have been working on a few different sets with Tyler Perry, as I am unable to divulge that information right now because the making of the shows are still underway. But yeah, you know, I continue to move onward and upward and allow God to align my steps in the way that he sees fit. So that's what I plan to do.
Amen. Well, guys, listen, that's all the time we have for tonight's show. I wish we had a little bit more time, but I want to thank all of you who tuned in and shared a part of your holidays with us. We certainly don't want to take that for granted. I know I don't. And Renata, I want to thank you again for your time this evening and for returning to the show to tell us about your latest project.
Thank you so much, Andre. And if I may, do you mind if I give my social media platforms out?
Please. I was just about to ask you and tell you that you had the last word tonight. So please, by all means, go right ahead.
Okay. So my social media platforms are as follows. I am on Facebook via Renata Jordan. I can be reached on Instagram under MS_RM_the_author. My website is booksabrilliant.com, and my email address is booksabrilliant@gmail.com. And you can also find me on Amazon as well. And Andre, listen, this was a phenomenal interview. I mean, again, I thank God for placing us in the lives of one another. This movie, you all, please make sure you go see it. Like I said, it's something in there for everybody, but it's very touching, so just be prepared. And I say, may everyone have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
All right, folks, that's our show for tonight. Hey, listen, be sure to join us for our next episode. It's going to air live on Wednesday, January the 22nd. at 8 p.m. Eastern. Okay? So from my family to yours, happy holidays. Have a blessed new year ahead. And good night, everybody.